Good morning and welcome to each one of you who's come out this morning. And I would like to say a thank you for your prayers and support that you have given to me and my family. And I feel like we have been blessed in people sending us text messages, people checking in on us, praying for us. I feel like we have definitely felt the power of the prayers of the brothers and sisters that we have in Christ. So I would like to welcome everybody that came out this morning. And my heart for the message this morning is that we can examine our hearts, and we can just take a step back and we can look at our hearts, and we can allow Christ to speak to us. And I want to present this message out of love and humility. And I understand that I don't have this all figured out. And for each of us, it's going to look a little different. And we can't judge other people. The only people that we can judge is ourselves in our own heart. I'd like to thank Dan for his devotions. I felt like it fit with what I have to share this morning. I felt like it fit very well in that we need to have our heart right. Our heart needs to be right. And then also I want to thank Trulin for those songs. Is it our desire to be drawn nearer to God? So my main text this morning is going to come out of Luke chapter 12, but I want to give just a little bit of background, because in Luke chapter 12, in the first three verses, Jesus talks about the Pharisees. So to look at a little bit of the history of the Pharisees, I'd like to look at Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 44. So we'll go ahead and read Luke 11, verses 37 through 44 at this time. And this is Jesus speaking. He's speaking, he was teaching, and now he's speaking to the Pharisees. And then at verse 37 it says, "And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have. And behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." So here in Luke 11, we see that Jesus was teaching, and then a certain Pharisee came to him and invited him for lunch or for supper or dinner. And Jesus went in and sat down, and he sat down to start eating, and he did not first wash his hands. And the Pharisee called Jesus out for this. And the Pharisee said to Jesus that you didn't wash your hands, and the Pharisee was kind of appalled at this. But then Jesus, this is what Jesus told the Pharisee. He said, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." So this morning I want to look at our inward part. People can see what we put on the outside. People can see how we look on the outside, but I want to look at our heart and where is our treasure. And if we can define where our treasure is, if we know where we're putting our treasure, where we're putting our time and our effort, that's where our heart's going to be. Luke 12, verse 34, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So Jesus is talking to this Pharisee about how these Pharisees make the outside appearance look so great and so good, but inside they're rotten. They're full of wickedness. And they're doing everything just for show. So at this point, I would like to move into Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 34 at this time. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye spoke in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of far more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before man shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Verse 13, And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Verse 22, And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies of the valley. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So in verse 21, we have the use of the word treasure. And I would like to just look at what the Greek word for treasure is in verse 21. It's thesaurizo. It means to amass or reserve, lay up, keep in store, or treasure. So in verse 21, it's comparing those of us. It says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So this, in 21, it's giving us, in verse 21, it's giving us a warning if we lay up treasures for ourselves and are not rich toward God. And then also, the word treasure used in verses 33 and 34, the Greek word is thesauros, and it means a deposit, wealth, or treasure. So it's saying, where our focus is, there will our heart be also. Where we're spending the abundance of our energy, that's what we're going to be focused on. So let's just keep that in mind, and let's go back into the beginning of the chapter, Luke chapter 12, and I want to look at the first three verses, and then we're just going to kind of move through the verses this morning and see what they have to say. So the title of the message, in case you missed it, is What is your treasure, or where is your treasure? So Jesus, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The Greek word for hypocrisy is hypocrisis. It's acting under feigned part, deceit, condemnation, dissimulation, hypocrisy. So what that means to me is that means acting one way and then acting another way to cover up. We're acting one way and really your heart isn't there. So it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And in Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 44, we see that the Pharisees were about their outward appearance. They cared about how they appeared to other people. And they cared about how much people saw them tithe and how much people saw them. And when people saw them in the marketplace, they cared that people saw that they sat in the high seats in the synagogues. That's what they cared about. It says they passed over judgment and the love of God. They cared about their outward appearance and not about their heart. Their treasure was in the outward appearance, and their treasure was not Christ. Verse 2, it says, for there is nothing covered that shall be revealed, that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. So verses 2 and 3 here are saying that you can cover your heart with what you put on the outward appearance, but God knows your heart. And it's my prayer this morning that our heart is to follow Christ and is to be with Christ. That we have the desire to serve Christ every day. And then verses 4 and 5. It says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So these people that can kill our body, we're not supposed to fear them and fear their opinions of us. We're not supposed to fear what they think of our outward appearance, because all they can do is kill our body. And then after that, they can't do anything. But we're supposed to fear him that hath the power to cast us into hell. And Christ is worried about where our heart is. He's not worried about what we look like on the outside. He's worried about our heart and our heart for others. And then verses 6 and 7 go on to say that how sparrows are pretty much worthless, but God knows them and he sees them and they're not forgotten. And how God knows and sees us and we're not forgotten. And we're of so much more value than the sparrows. And in verses 8 and 9, we see that Christ wants us to confess him before men. We need to confess Christ no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Because if we confess Christ, the Son of Man shall also confess us before the angels of God. But we have a warning in verse 9. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. So if we find ourselves in a setting where it's not popular, where it's not the right thing to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, are we going to deny Christ? Are we going to fear those that can kill our body? And after that, they can't do anything. Or are we going to fear God? Are we going to confess Christ in every situation? Is our treasure Christ Jesus? Verse 11 also goes along with that. Verse 11 and 12. It says, And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. So we're not supposed to worry about what we're going to say in these situations. If our heart is Christ, if our treasure is to follow Christ, Christ will give us the answers and will give us the words to say when we're talking to other people about our Christianity, when we're talking to other people about our faith. Next, I want to look at verses 13 to 15, and then kind of tied in with verses 13 to 15, go verses 16 through 21. Verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, so somebody that was in the crowd said unto Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So here, I want to make this, maybe paint the picture a little bit better so we can understand this. We have this inheritance, this brother that came to Jesus and asked Jesus to divide an inheritance. So I'm going to say it's two brothers. The older one got the inheritance and the younger one did not receive the inheritance. And this younger brother came to Jesus and asked Jesus if he would tell his brother to divide these earthly riches, give him his share of these earthly riches. I would note that this younger brother did not come to Jesus and tell Jesus, Jesus, I have this problem. I'm coveting everything that my brother has. I'm coveting his inheritance that he received, and I feel like I should have part of it. But can you help me deal with my heart of covetousness? Rather, he asked Jesus if he can divide the inheritance, if he can ask his brother to divide the inheritance with him. And then Jesus tells them that he's not a divider or a judge over them. And then he also says unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, because a man's life doesn't consist in the things that he owns, doesn't consist in the abundance of things he possesses, but rather a man's life is where his heart is. Verses 16 through 21, let's look at those next. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So here we have the parable of the rich man that it says the ground did very well for him and brought forth great crop. And he didn't have room to put all his crops in his barn, so he thought what he's going to do is he's going to tear down his barns and he's going to build bigger barns and he's going to hoard all these blessings to himself. And it doesn't stop there, but it says he's going to say to himself, he's going to say to his soul, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." I would like to note that the heart of the man in this parable was not a heart of Christ. It was a heart of selfishness. He kept all that he was blessed with. And he wanted to store it in a barn for him. That way, he could do what he wanted to do. He wanted to take his ease. He wanted to eat, drink, and be merry. He wanted to relax. He didn't want to have to worry about anything. And then it says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all those things be which thou hast provided?" And then verse 21, "So is he," or so are we, "if we lay up treasure for ourselves and are not rich toward God." The attitude of this rich man was selfishness, not giving of his resources to people in need. Then let's go ahead and look at verses 22 through 34. "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will God clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What is our focus in life? Is our focus on the material blessings and the material possessions that Christ has trusted to us? Is our focus our family? Is our focus our spouse? Is it our children? Is it our grandchildren? Because any one of these things, if that is where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. That's where what's going to be our highest priority. Maybe our jobs are really important to us. You know, we have to have a good job so we can make a lot of money, so we can give a lot of money away. But is Christ our focus? Do we treasure Christ? Christ's attitude was an attitude of service. He came to serve others. And that's my prayer for us this morning, that we would seek the kingdom of God, that our heart would be Christ, and that we would desire to let a lasting impact for Him. The material possessions and things isn't what matters in the end. I believe there's two things that we can do in our life that'll impact eternity. And that is, one is where our heart is. Where is our heart? Because that'll affect our destination. And number two, out of everything else that we could do with our lives, our witness to others could impact their destination. Yes, they need to make a choice to follow Christ. But are we going to use our lives to be a witness, to be Christ-like to other people? Or are we going to spend our lives coveting after the Pharisees and the way they look so good on the outside, but on the inside they're rotten and they're full of wickedness? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'd also like to look a little bit at 1 Timothy chapter 6 for a few thoughts. I feel like in the verses that we looked at this morning, we saw a warning to the people, to those of us that covet what other people may have. Verse 6 in 1 Timothy 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. It is possible to achieve godliness and have contentment." And I believe if our heart is Christ, we'll be able to find contentment. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." I'd just like to make a note there on verse 9. It says, "they that will be rich." But also another way of saying that is, "they that desire to be rich." Do we desire to be rich? Is that what our heart is? Do we have a heart of covetousness, of storing it all up for ourselves? Verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Verse 10 isn't saying money is the root of all evil. It's saying the love of money is the root of all evil. And it says, "which while some coveted after," some people have made money their goal. And maybe it crept in slowly. And maybe it didn't happen overnight. But it took them down a path where they lost their faith and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I believe that God has blessed us abundantly, and I believe we're responsible to use those blessings in a godly way. God has blessed us with family, with friends, with time, with financial resources, and I believe we're responsible to Christ how we use all of these. May our heart be Christ and to be more like Christ. Verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after," here we have it, what we need to do, "follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I charge them that be rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly in all things to enjoy. So if God has blessed us abundantly, we're not supposed to be high-minded about it. We're not supposed to trust in those uncertain riches, because we can have something one day and the next day it might be gone. But we're supposed to trust in the living God, who has blessed us with all these blessings, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. I hope that this morning that we're able to evaluate our heart and evaluate our focus in life. And I bring this to you as encouragement and out of a heart of love for you all as a congregation. Where is your treasure? Because that's where your heart's going to be. Let's pray.